Familiar with the ones on the back, like number 40, but you're welcome to give one out and from anywhere in this book, and we'll try to sing it, okay? How about we get started with number 40, Jesus Loves Me. Jesus loves me,
this I know.
Has a song they like to give out? Yes. 46. All right. Glad
T-I-E-I-N-G-S.
About another one. Yes, Annie?
34.
34, okay.
Precious, precious blood of Jesus shed on Calvary, shed for
How about another one? You have one?
37.
37. Okay. Let's do that one next. 37. Maybe somebody else could start that one. How about maybe one more? Somebody else have one? Yes, over here on the end. Which one? 58. Okay. Maybe 48 or no? Let's see, which one is it you're wanting? How about number 47?
Come on.
Okay. Well, where I come from, the children say a verse in Sunday school, and I know some of you probably worked on one, so I'm going to give you the opportunity to say a verse if you'd like to. You don't have to, so I'm not going to make you. But if you want to do that, we're going to take some time here to listen to what you may have learned, okay? Does somebody want to start and tell me the verse? Do you have a verse you want to say? Okay.
And the strength of sin is the law, but thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. First Corinthians 15:56 and 57.
Very good. Very good. Would you like to say the verse?
Yes.
Okay.
The sting of death is sin, but the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 15:56 and 57.
Very good. Okay. Who else would like to say it?
The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. Thanks be to God who gave us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 15:56 and 57.
Okay, we got another hand over here.
The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is law, but thanks be unto God who giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 15:56 and 57.
Okay, who else?
The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is death. 1 Corinthians 15:56.
Okay. I got another one here.
The sting of death is sin. 1 Corinthians 15:56.
Very good.
The sting of death is sin. 1 Corinthians 15:56.
Okay.
Sting of death is sin. 1 Corinthians 15:56.
Okay.
The sting of death is sin. 1 Corinthians 15:56.
The sting of death is sin. 1 Corinthians 15:56.
All right. Anybody else?
All right, small boys.
The sting of death is sin. 1 Corinthians 15:56.
The sting of death is sin. 1 Corinthians 15:56.
The sting of death is sin. 1 Corinthians 15:56.
Okay. This isn't a very long verse, is it? Some of you learned two verses, and that's nice. Anybody else want to say it? I want to give you a chance. I don't want you to miss out. You did a very nice job on that, saying your verse and learning it. Maybe it wasn't a very hard one to learn because it was short, right? But it talks about some really serious things. You ever been stung before? Yeah, I think most of us have. That's not very fun. But it also talks about two other things that we're going to talk about. I'm going to tell you a story here in a little bit about being stung. But first of all, I want to ask you, there's two other words in this verse, death and sin, right? Those are some other important words in this verse. And if I asked you children, I wonder, which do you think is even more serious, death or sin? What do you think, William? Death or sin? You have to think about that, isn't he? What do you think? Sin, okay. Sin. All right. Anybody else? Yes?
Dying.
Death, okay. Yeah. Well, I think when I read a verse like this, maybe I think, boy, death, that's more serious than anything else. It is serious, isn't it? But you know what, children? If you know the Lord Jesus as your Savior, you know, death just brings us right into His presence, into the Lord, into heaven to see the Lord, doesn't it? So there's victory over death, isn't there? What about sin? Is it serious too? You know, we may not think it's so serious sometimes. In fact, it says in the Bible, it says there may be pleasure in sin for a season. We might even enjoy some things that are sin. We might not think it's all that serious like we do death. But sin is very serious, isn't it? Because sin can keep us from the Lord's presence forever. That's how serious it is. So I told you I was going to tell you a little story about stings. So I'm going to try to relate this story as best I can to the verse. This was a few years ago. It was a kind of a friend of a friend had a beehive that they didn't want anymore. And so my dad and I thought we would go move this hive. They didn't want it, so they offered it to us. And we thought we'd go move this beehive to our farm. And I was mostly interested in this beehive because they can pollinate our crops. And at that time, we were growing some strawberries and pumpkins and things that benefit from bee pollination. Okay, I think Dad was more interested in the honey, but anyway. We thought we would move this hive to our farm. That sound like a good idea? Well, I'm going to probably get in trouble here because there's probably some people in this room that know about keeping bees, and I got to admit, I don't know very much about it at all. So that was the first problem. We didn't really know what we were doing. I wonder, children, do you know the way of salvation? We've talked about sin and death and how sin can keep you from heaven, can keep you from the Lord's presence. Do you know the way of salvation? If somebody asked you, if I were to ask you, what must I do to be saved, what would you say? Anybody know a verse? Good. Say that again, please.
Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved.
Good. Yeah, that's Acts 16:31, isn't it? So you know. That's good. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Thou shalt be saved. That's the way of salvation. Okay, well, back to the story. We drove up to the field where it was in our pickup, and there was kind of a big hill there, and the hive was at the bottom of the hill, and it was a little bit wet, so we were afraid to drive all the way down to the hive. We were afraid we'd get stuck down there. So we had to park on top of the hill and walk down to the hive. And so we had borrowed some gear, some equipment, you know, a beekeeper's helmet you put on that has a net that goes over your face. And we put on some gloves, and so we thought maybe that helped us protect us from the bees' stings, right? But there was a problem, another problem, besides not knowing what we were doing. We had some faulty equipment. And I know my mask had a hole in it over here somewhere, and I think maybe Dad's did too. And we didn't do everything wrong. You know, we went in the evening, and when the bees are supposed to be calmer and back in their hive, and we had some of the right equipment. But as we approached very carefully to that hive, pretty soon there was a bee already inside my mask. Inside. In that little hole there. And I think maybe Dad had got one in there too. We hadn't even touched the hive yet. So we had problems, didn't we? We had some faulty equipment. And that reminds me a little bit about this verse too. Do you think these bodies that we have are going to last forever? You think so? You know, you all are young, healthy looking, and that's good. As we get older, you might think a little bit more about it. As you get older, you might think about how this body isn't going to last forever. Maybe you eat your vitamins. Maybe you eat the right food, do a little exercise. These things help our bodies, don't they? But they're not going to last forever. This body is capable of death and is guaranteed, if the Lord leaves us here, not to last in our body. So we have some, just like our faulty equipment that we had in our beekeeping experience, you and I have bodies that just are not going to last. Okay? Well, back to our story. As we approached that hive, there was another problem. And this hive had been let go, and no one had been keeping it and taking care of it. And the box, it's a big box, about this tall, you know, about this wide, had holes in it all over the place. And since we wanted to move all the bees, we needed to patch up those holes before we could carry it off, right? We wanted to keep them inside their home. So we had some screen and staples, and we started stapling screens over these holes with a staple gun. Everybody's laughing. It wasn't very funny. How do you think the bees like that? Wham! Staples going into their home. They didn't like it at all. And so the problem was, we just needed to tell these bees what we were doing so that they wouldn't be scared, right? We just needed to communicate a little bit with these bees and explain everything. We weren't going to hurt them. We didn't want to hurt them. We weren't even taking their honey yet. But they just didn't get it. And so we had a problem. We couldn't communicate with these bees very well. They didn't like us at all. And that reminds me, too, of actually a story that was told yesterday about the ants. You remember that? Someone said, if you want to communicate with an ant, you'd have to become an ant, wouldn't you? We couldn't communicate with these bees very well. And that reminds me of the Lord Jesus, because it says in John, I'm going to read some verses in John chapter 1. We've read these already at conference. About the Lord Jesus, the Son of God. It says in verse 14, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So the Lord Jesus, He did this. He became a man. The Son of God became a man. And He came into this world for you and I. He communicated God's love. He revealed His Father's heart to each of us, to this world, to this lost world. And did they appreciate it? What did people do to the Lord Jesus when He was here? Well, we know the story. It says actually here, He came unto His own, and His own received Him not. And even worse than that, they put Him on a cross. So, the Lord Jesus, He didn't just leave us here in our sins, did He? In John chapter 3, it says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So God sent His Son into this world to save us, knowing exactly what was going to happen. Okay, well, I'm going to continue more with our story. As we approached the hive there, it became obvious that we were going to have to carry this hive up the hill. There was no way to get it to the pickup without carrying it all the way up the hill. And it was quite heavy, as I recall, for two of us. And you can imagine, if you're carrying something with two hands, you just don't have any way to brush off a bee if it gets up your sleeve or down your collar. And so here we are trying to carry this thing up the hill and getting stung. And It seemed like a long ways up that hill. In fact, I think we had to set it down at least once and rest. That made me think of another thing about the Lord. You know, the Lord Jesus, before he was actually put on the cross, Pilate had him scourged, his back was whipped, and they laid that cross on him, and he was to bear it up a hill to Golgotha. Remember that, reading about that? Do you think that hurt? Do you think that was painful? Yeah, it certainly was. Very painful. So that makes me think about our Lord Jesus and what he did out of love for you and for me. That's what he did. And when he got there, they set up that cross, they nailed him to that cross and set it up on the hill there. That's where he suffered for you and for me. That's how much he loves you and me. And that's how much he doesn't want you to suffer for your sin. That's how much he wants to give you life after, even if you have to die. Even if this body dies, we can have eternal life, can't we? Through Jesus Christ our Lord. That's why it says, I'm going to read the verse that some of you children said already. The last verse of the chapter there in 1 Corinthians 15. Well, verse 57, but thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. There's victory, children, over death, over sin, because of the Lord Jesus and what he did on that cross. That's where he bore your sins and mine, because he loves you so much. So, I don't want anyone here to have to suffer or pay for their sin. I don't want anyone here to go through death without knowing that Savior, the Lord Jesus. And he doesn't want that either. That's how much he loves you. Well, we did eventually get the hive back to our property there. But we paid for it with a lot of stings. So I don't have a very good experience with bees. But when I think about that story, at least I can remember what the Lord Jesus did for you and me, right? How much it cost him. More than just a sting, a bee sting. And I also want to maybe close with another thought, another verse, because I don't want anyone here to just think about death being before them. I want you children to have something else before you, another hope. Wonder if I could get somebody here to read a couple of verses in John, later in John 14. One of your children want to read this? All right, let's read John 14, verse 1. John's Gospel, 14. Yeah, back this way. John, yeah. We're going to read the first four verses of John 14. You want to read that? Go ahead.
Let not your heart be troubled, ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also.
Very good. Isn't that nice? You know, children, we don't have to look forward to death. It may happen. We've talked about that. Our bodies are capable of death. But that's not what we're here to look forward to. We're here to look forward to something better than that. We're here to look forward to the coming of the Lord Jesus. And you know what? If the Lord Jesus comes today, I don't think anybody, I hope, nobody in this room will have to pass through death. So that is much better thing to look forward to. I just wanted to kind of close with that, because we don't really expect that, do we? We expect the Lord to come. That's our hope. The hope of each of us is to look forward to the Lord's return for us. He wants us to look forward to that. That's why he tells us, let not your heart be troubled. So as scary things like death may be to us, we can look forward to victory. We can hope for the Lord's coming, and we can know for sure that he loves us and that he's provided that way of salvation for us. Maybe we'll close with another song or two, because we've got some time. Does anybody else here in the front have a song? Yes, Laurel? 43. Number 43. Okay. One door.
One door.